Ready? 1, 2, 3.
You're not Looney gonna won't say it. But Pete probably should. Would. Let's talk about T Swift. Let's talk about comics, yeah.
Asking the questions
that people wouldn't. Like, is there such thing as neon gray?
Oh my God, welcome to Poonie and Pete Show.
So good.
Maybe it become its own show someday, if this happens often enough.
Song.
If your liver can take it.
Oh, mine? Because of beer?
Yeah.
That's nice of you to be concerned.
Well, you know, I try to worry.
You're probably better at keeping track of what's happening on my liver.
Probably.
When we go out, you are. You make me put tally marks on my hand so I don't die.
Probably it would be good. Well, I mean, maybe your liver's fine because you're kind of a lightweight.
Yeah.
So maybe you're not drinking as much. So maybe that means you're fine.
Maybe.
I don't know how that works. Uh-oh.
Does someone have it? Oh, that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were going to record in a moving van that we drove from Oregon to here.
Mm-hmm.
But then we didn't.
No,
because you were like, oh, fuck that.
That's not at all what happened.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Let's just sit here in the car for 30 plus hours with our arms crossed and not talk to one another.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I wanted.
I think bomb cyclone happened and I was too anxious to do anything except watch the road.
You were pretty anxious at a couple spots.
Uh-huh.
Just you grasping the door handle.
Yeah.
And politely asking me to drive at a reasonable speed.
Instead of 70 something when it said, don't go faster than 55.
Yeah.
But you were good. You drove the whole way.
70 seems like a good speed. What you said a couple times.
Yeah. But you were nice. And also you lied to me that one time when I was like, is the road okay? And you're like, yeah, it's fine. And later you're like, it was slick.
Yeah. When you asked, it was fine.
Oh, but then, later.
Yeah, like 2 minutes later, I was like, oh, maybe this isn't fine.
I appreciate you not
but
telling
I was like,
me.
And what's she going to do?
Just cry.
Yeah. Just wear out her arm strength by holding the thing when maybe she'll need it to break her window and escape from a car.
Oh, I should buy one of those like window and seatbelt cutter things.
Those hammers, smashers. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about getting one of those for work for if anyone reported a dog in a car.
Oh,
and then
that
I could just
sense.
Smash the window.
I was thinking about getting one of those when I lived in Portland and had to cross the bridge because I was always afraid that the earthquake was going to hit right when I was at the top of Marquam Bridge and I would just collapse into the river.
And you'd be like, well, I had my hammer.
I honestly, most times when I drove across it, I seriously considered rolling down the window because you know how you're supposed to do that before you go into the water?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like almost every time I was like, should I roll down the window? How likely is this going
to
happen?
If you had the opportunity to go to a place where they like train you for this, so like they would put you in a car and put it on a crane
and
then
drop it
like 5 feet into the water,
mm-mm.
You wouldn't do that?
Mm-mm.
Just to see?
Mm-mm. I think I'd get like PTSD from it.
Mm. Yeah,
it's probably illegal to do.
No way.
I don't know.
Why would that be illegal? They did it on Fear Factor.
They did?
Yeah, definitely.
How many of those people do you think have PTSD?
A few.
I think so, too.
I bet some of them also have, like, nagging injuries.
I was going to say, like, a neck injury or, yeah.
They had one where they did, like, bullfighting. And I remember hearing an interview with Joe Rogan was the host. And he was like, there was not many times I did this because I would get in trouble if I did, but that was one where I was like, I wouldn't do it.
No.
I got to be honest, like, not worth it.
I think and I would have like, done 2% of that show.
Yeah. The eating stuff probably would have been fine.
Mm.
I remember watching one where they did this thing that was like a simulation of being trapped underwater under ice. So they had multiple layers that had, and they were clear. They were made of like clear plastic stretched mm-hmm. tight. And so you'd have to swim down through a hole in the first one, find a hole in the second one, find a hole in the third one.
Was it
and,
cold
like, get
water?
To the bottom. I don't know. But it was just like you're trapped under this thing and you can't get out. And you could go to the perimeter and they had divers on the perimeter. But I was like, that's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, I'd pass too.
I'm cool just living my normal life.
They had one too where it was like they just got in basically what looked like a clear coffin full of water. And then they were just supposed to hold their breath as long as they could.
That's like one of my ultimate fears is drowning.
Yeah, that would probably be the worst.
Because like, do you hold your breath for forever? Or do you just give up if you know you're going to die?
I don't know.
Right? It freaks me out.
And they had them hold like a weight. So then if they dropped it and passed out, they would know to like go in and get them out. This one guy was like, I don't like my chances. I'm a smoker and blah, blah, blah. He won by far.
Seriously?
One guy went under the water and instantly came out. And was like, fuck that. No.
That's wild that a smoker would have the lung capacity, well, better lung capacity than non-smokers.
It definitely not a good made a young Pete be like, yeah. These it's PSAs are, yeah. Maybe it's fine. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's great.
He did the best. A little too far.
Here's what I thought.
And a very unique, unrealistic challenge.
Here's what I thought, honest to God, at the time. I was like, well, maybe because he's smoking, he's basically depriving himself of oxygen all the time.
Oh, so his lungs have to
work. So he's totally used to it.
Yeah.
So his lungs, when they're like not getting air for a little while, are like, eh, we'll wait. It's coming.
Yeah.
We'll get there eventually.
Uh-huh.
So we were going to podcast about, I think I just burped into the microphone. Was it loud in your headphones?
Uh-uh.
Okay, good. Well, maybe no one will hear it at home.
Well, they'll all know that you did it, though.
Hit the rewind 30 seconds and see if you can catch it.
Yeah.
That's for the real hardcore listeners.
I feel like Ian will do this.
Yeah. I definitely heard it. We were going to do some moral / hypothetical questions because I thought this would be a good thing for you. I don't know why.
I'm interested in people and moral dilemmas.
And you like podcasts that have a structure.
I do. I like structure.
So now we have a structure.
Woohoo!
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Are you ready for the first one?
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
You're going to participate also?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't just grill you and sit
here. That's not fun for you.
And be like, I give that answer a 4.
Wow. Out of 3?
Out of a possible 3, I give it a 4.
Yeah, because I did that good.
I don't know why I did it on a scale of 1 to 3.
Because 1 is bad, 2 is meh, and 3 is great, and 4 is like, oh my gosh, you should be a world leader.
But then why didn't I just make it a 4?
Because I exceeded expectations.
I don't like that. I don't like how at school all the kids are saying, you know, oh, she has a 4.8 GPA. And I'm like,
why? I don't like that either.
Don't do that.
No.
That's dumb.
Yes.
Okay. Let's just say I were to receive something for free and I had a friend that would be in need of this very item. And this item would be critically useful in his daily life. Would it be wrong to upcharge him hundreds past what I know it's worth?
Yes. Are you kidding? Yes. If it's critical to their daily life.
He made it sound like it's insulin or something.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it said critically useful. So that could be like a Nintendo DS.
No.
No?
That's not critically useful for many people.
Maybe not to you.
I said for many people, I added a qualifier at the end. You're welcome.
Fair enough.
I was thinking of 14-year-old boys on a school bus when I said that, not 35-year-old grown men, but it's cool.
The hell are you trying to say?
Nothing. Not insinuating a thing at all. No, I think that'd be totally wrong. Okay. This morning on my drive into work, NPR had a thing about how doctor's offices up like 2 or 3 times up the charge of things, like a knee brace. And it cost this guy like $800. And they were like, he probably could have gotten one for $100, $200.
Damn.
And yeah, the doctor upcharged him.
That's messed up.
I agree. And that's what I think of when I think of this question.
Okay. What if it was something that's like not critical? Okay. You get a free, you enter some kind of raffle at work. You're not even really trying. Or you buy some person at work, their kid is selling raffle tickets.
Okay.
You win like a juicer. So it's like an expensive item, but you're like, I don't really want it. And then some friend of yours is like looking for a juicer. Would you say, like, I got one, you could have it for $50? They're still getting a good value.
That's a harder question. Because you got it for free, so you're not, like, out any money. So mm-hmm. if you just gave it away, mm-hmm. then that'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you, I don't know. I think it would definitely be wrong to charge more than whatever the full price. Like, if it was a $50 sure. juicer and you charged them $80 or even, like, $60, I don't think that's okay.
Agreed.
But, like, $20, $30, I think that's 80? Kind of okay.
A juicer is, like, $150.
But let's say if it's $50. Wait, it's $100?
$150.
Okay. Yeah, like, $70 or $80, I think is
yeah, half okay. price.
I would, well, most of my friends are married. I was going to say, I would stash it away until a wedding and then be like, here, here's your gift.
I'd be like, buy you anything. That's a very generous gift. And you're like, yeah, kind of. Would be. All right. This is kind of a long one. I work for a janitorial services company. One of my regular jobs is, these are badly punctuated, by the way.
Is it killing you?
No, it just makes it hard to read.
Why didn't you go back and edit it with all your editing skills?
It's a waste of my time.
Okay.
I got important shit to do.
Yeah, not edit stuff for podcasts that no one else is going to see.
I work for a janitorial services company. One of my regular jobs is working at an accident repair garage or body shop. It's part of a national chain and one of four sites we work at that belong to the client. In recent weeks, a dildo has been appearing in various places that aren't usually seen by customers, such as the bathroom and break room. This morning, I saw the dildo stuck to the bonnet of a van belonging to the local tourist board. I discreetly took a photo, and I'm considering sending it anonymously either to the general manager of the body shop or to the owner of the vehicle. Either way, if it comes back to me, I risk jeopardizing our relationship with the client and my job. Should I mind my own business? I know if it was my car, personal or otherwise, I'd want to know it was being treated professionally.
I think sending it to the manager is okay. Because you don't just want to send it to whoever the owner is, like, without giving the manager a chance to correct behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think.
Do you not think that the dildo mysteriously appearing and disappearing in the body shop is appropriate?
I come at it from, like, if that is a typically male-dominated field, and if a woman worked in that place, I could see her being uncomfortable, potentially. But then, like, I don't know, I just did a sexual harassment training at work.
Mm. Well, this seems like, it sounds like that's not the issue. It sounds like the issue is this guy feels like, I wouldn't want to take my car to a body shop and have a dildo sitting on it.
I think putting it in a customer's vehicle is crossing the line. Like, if you put it, like, in a staff break room or, like, in someone's locker, I wouldn't do it. But if you know your office culture is okay with that. And again, sexual harassment training, like,
if you received a photo of your car from the body shop and someone had stuck a dildo on the hood,
I'd be really annoyed.
Annoyed?
Yeah. And I would just be like, I probably wouldn't take it back to that place. Like, I'd show you and I think that you would burst out laughing.
Yeah.
And I think that you would tell people at work and your volleyball team and they would also burst out laughing. But I don't know. That's not my sense of humor. So
dildos?
No, not so much.
I had a great suction cup dildo that I got for Santa Rampage.
It's enormous.
It's really big. And you could kind of, like, I mastered, you could, if you threw it just right, stick it to the front door of my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like, you, if you rotate it, it's sort of like a throwing knife, but then it's also floppy, so it would, like, whack onto it, stick, and then, like, oi, oi, oi. Yeah, exactly. It would boy, oi, oi on the thing. It was good.
Yeah.
I got it in my golf bag.
Yes, which is the perfect place for it, because why just wouldn't it belong right. in a golf bag? Yeah, I just don't, like, for me, that's not, if they do it in the break room, whatever, but if, like, they put it on, like, the mirror of my car, like, up on the dash, I would be like, I really don't appreciate this.
Do you think, in your heart of hearts, would you find it funny if, like, you went into a bathroom at a workplace and there was a dildo, like, just stuck to the mirror?
Not where I work, because I work in, like, a public setting where I would be worried that someone was getting harassed. Yeah. No, I don't think that I would think. I think if I came into your work and saw it, I would just be like, what the hell is going on here?
Or like, what if someone, like, what if I just stuck one to your bathroom mirror one time?
I think that I would come in and give you the face that you know what face I would make. And then I would try and stick it to your forehead. And that would be that.
Okay.
I'm guessing that you have a different opinion on this. As far as appropriateness and like it being okay.
Yeah, I guess I feel like if this person's read of the situation is correct, because they don't seem to think that there's any issues here as far as like this is a hostile work environment. Right. It seems more like, well, if someone knew there was a dildo in their car, they would be so uncomfortable.
Like, what if a customer showed up before it was ready just to like check on it and saw that?
Sure.
Like, it seems like he's looking out for that situation, or they're looking out for that situation.
Maybe. I think this person's not part of the fun.
I agree.
And is resentful of not being part of the fun.
Well, it makes it sound like they said janitorial.
Right. So they don't work there.
Right. So they're coming in later and seeing like office shenanigans and pranks.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I think is because I think if I were a janitorial service cleaning up somewhere and that kind of shenanigans were going on, I think I'd sort of just be like, hey, man, whether or not a client comes back to this auto body shop, I'm the janitor.
I was like, going to say,
who gives a shit?
Well, you've joked about being a janitor and like the luxury of that is you put headphones in and put your head down and you just like clean and go.
Yeah.
Like there's not a whole lot of additional like worries and especially after hours cleaning crews. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I don't know, I'm not sure how I feel about this person cobbling together what they think is going on versus what's really going on, and also...
But of their two options presented, which do you think is... Send it to the customer or send it to the janitor?
No, I would definitely not send it to the customer.
No.
That would be dumb.
I agree.
Because then I think what'll happen is the customer will be mad and it'll go to the manager and the manager will know you did it and then be pissed off at you, even regardless of whether or not that's reasonable, you're going to pay a price for that.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you just tell the manager like, hey, I keep seeing this dildo around, and he might just be like, that's all a fantasy of your weird imagination. And then he can tell his guys working there, like, stop putting that fucking dildo everywhere. Cheese it. Okay?
Be more discreet about where it's placed.
Yeah. This could end in a boss chasing an employee with a dildo and throwing it at him.
And like wagging a finger, but wagging a dildo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm tired of finding this goddamn dildo everywhere. Look. So yeah, I definitely, that's the other thing that makes this person seem maybe meddlesome is that they're like, maybe I'll tell everybody. And it's like, maybe tell one person, but let's not go crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they're approaching the internet before speaking with like a coworker.
As a janitor, maybe you don't have one.
I don't know.
All right. There is a case of British conjoined twins. If not separated, they would both die within months. If separation was successful, the healthier twin would survive, but the surgery would kill the other. The parents refused consent, but a court overruled them. The surgery killed one twin to save the other. That's all it says. There's no question.
Just like thoughts
about happened.
This situation?
Yeah. What would you do? You've got conjoined twins. You've birthed from your womb.
I just think it'd be heartbreaking to watch both of them die. I mean, it'd be heartbreaking to watch one of them die, but to like both of them. But then like the other twin has to live with knowing I'm the reason that my twin died. Like, I'm alive because they're dead.
I mean, I think I'm the reason some of my siblings are dead inside. So really, there's a parallel here.
No, I feel like you provide joy.
To my siblings?
Well, to most people, and your siblings included. I don't know. Maybe they'll listen and they can reassure you that they're not dead inside,
you're cool.
Or you're not the cause of their deadness.
They'll probably be like, you had a twin and you killed it.
Also, I feel like you're the one that's dead inside.
How dare you? Of siblings, you think I'm the most dead inside?
In some ways.
It's possible, I guess. I'm thinking about it.
I think about like the attitude you have towards your employment.
Mm. Yeah, in that aspect, I'm definitely the most dead inside.
Seems like, yeah, the rest of them have found a little bit more joy from that.
Must be nice for them.
But you maybe play you on a volleyball. Them. I don't want to date another Dirk, please. love the rest of you. I feel bad please? That I just said
yeah,
your last
did you have
name.
To add please?
Yeah, I don't know. But I like you play on volleyball and do friend things and shenanigans that alleviate some of the deadness.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't have siblings, so I don't know what this is like. Oh, maybe I pretend like this is my sibling that died so I could live.
Ooh, yeah. How would you feel?
I don't know. I'm fine.
Yeah, it's kind of like if your parents had another kid and then had an abortion or something, because you're like, I mean, what was I supposed to do about that?
Yeah.
I didn't really have any control over that, right?
Mm-hmm. But there's still like that survivor's guilt.
Sure. But also you're a baby, so it's not like your parents were like, well, we want to... Oh, shit. We want a Poon Master Flex.
Now everybody knows.
I'll beep it out.
Oh, will you? For real? Okay. Okay.
We wanted Poon Master Flex, not what would your sister's name be? Gretchen?
Okay.
Maud?
Maud.
Irma?
No, I like
Esther?
The name Irma.
Hortense.
That.
Helga?
Helga's not bad. Hortense, that's awful.
Hagar the Horrible?
That sounds like a boy's name.
It could be a boy.
Have there ever been conjoined boy-girl twins?
Oh, gross.
I don't think there can be, right? Cause like
no, because they come from the same egg when they're conjoined, right?
Right, I think so.
They don't just like melt together.
I don't know.
Their heads, their soft heads just like melt together.
That'd be super weird.
All right, I'm in a bit of a moral dilemma here. My college started a program this semester where each student has a $500 voucher they can use towards textbooks and supplies required for class. Now, I do not need this voucher. I have all my books already. It might be relevant to know that I pirated a few of the textbooks. Would I be an asshole if I bought the required books for my classes, then resold them on Amazon?
So, would they make money off of this voucher?
I think that this is the old... food stamps for cigarettes trick.
Oh.
So basically what you're doing is you're like, okay, well, I can only use this voucher for textbooks. So what I have to do is buy textbooks with it.
Why did they
buy...
Then
I sell the textbooks to make the cash.
Why did they buy textbooks?
I don't know.
I just think too responsibly, because I would think like, if you could keep the voucher, then buy next semester's books. And if you can't keep the voucher, then sure, buy it and then resell the books and then use that money to like pay your rent or.
I think that's what's being suggested.
Then I think that's, well, like, because scholarship money can be used to purchase textbooks or pay tuition or help with like housing, like all that stuff.
It says supplies. Technically, I think it's fair to be like, I'm a student. I need to eat to go to class, right?
I would
so
even
Wendy's.
We would get students gas money sometimes.
What?
Yeah, because it gets them to and from class.
I want gas money.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think as long as you're using it to supplement your education or like supplies. But if you're going and throwing a kegger, no.
Well, maybe that's what they need to fuel themselves to the next
beer.
Class. Yeah.
Beer is the fuel
you're
of knowledge.
Drinking beer right now.
I'm done knowledging.
You're killing the knowledge.
Yes.
Okay. I would totally do it because my opinion on school is that school is like a huge money pit. So any small thing you can do to get any of it back, go for it.
I mean, yeah, this like student loan thing is a crisis at this point.
It's crazy.
And so, mm-hmm.
And do you think the school gives a fuck if you're bankrupt when you leave school?
No,
and never
they
get
want
a job.
You to make money and then give it back to them as an alumni donor.
I know. My school is always like sending me emails of like, why don't you donate money? Because we're like $12 million in debt. And I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't have done all the stupid shit you did. What happened to all the money I gave you before?
Yeah, and my tuition.
I feel like a dad who gave, you know, I gave my daughter like $1,000 a week allowance, and she's like, "Dad, I need some money." And I'm like, "What the hell happened to all that money I gave you? What's been going on?"
Mm-hmm.
At the college I go to, there is a large STEM wing with an anatomy section, and in the anatomy section, there is a rack of around 20 skeletons, all real. Would it be wrong to take a strange photo of them and edit it like a horror movie?
No.
Yeah, no, that's a dumb one. Okay. Headline. Is it okay to snoop my boyfriend's web history if he is suicidal? So I had an issue 1 to 2 years into our current 5-year relationship in which I invaded his privacy and looked at his web history and some saved files because I was paranoid about cheating. He's my first relationship. I was dealing with some shit. We've moved past this. Please don't judge me for it anymore. My boyfriend is no question about it suicidal. I just want to know if it's ethically okay to browse his web history because I think there might be info in it that could help me understand what method he might use. I just wish I could only see any searches for that and nothing else for his privacy. Should I invade the privacy for his safety, or should I respect his entire privacy?
Respect entire privacy, and if you're worried if someone's suicidal, you should ask them point blank, have you considered suicide? And then go from there. And if they say yes, ask if they have a plan, and then go seek help. If they say yes, if they say no, still go seek help because clearly something's going on that they need support for.
I always think that's a funny part of it. Like, see if they have an actual plan. Because someone like me, I'm not a planner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you have a plan, that means that you're probably closer to like actually enacting the plan, or you've thought about it enough and long enough that like you should probably go like to the hospital or see a crisis like counseling line immediately.
Doesn't this sound like someone who just wants to snoop?
It totally does. It sounds like she's making, well, she
Snoop Dogg
then said like, I've invaded privacy in the past.
Okay, I did this before. Well, also, I'm kind of like, well, you're so certain that he's like going to do this. Why do you need to look at the web history then? In hopes that he searched like how to hang yourself, and then she's like, now I know how he's going to do it.
Well, and also they were like, I just want to see this one piece. It's not like I want to see everything, which sounds like a total cop-out answer. Like, no, I actually want to see all the things they've looked at.
Well, it's like, oh, I did this 1 to 2 years into our 5-year relationship where I just looked through his entire web history, and you're like, and don't judge me for it. And I'm like, what? You're talking about doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. Did you not learn the first time?
Seems convenient.
Yeah, I feel like that's a total.
So no.
Mm-hmm.
So painting has been a hobby of mine since I was 15, and over these 10 years, I'd say I've become pretty good, to the point that lots of people I know want me to paint them, which is kind of annoying after a while, but that's a topic for another time. Anyway, I just broke up with a girl named Emily who goes to med school with me. It was pretty mutual and friendly until now, since we both realized it wouldn't work. So yesterday she texted me to ask for the painting back. The painting in question is a nude portrait I did of her when we were still dating. We got into kind of a text argument over this since she really wanted it and I didn't want to give it to her. I'll try to provide both our arguments as objectively as possible here. Her. She says she doesn't feel comfortable with me having a nude portrait of her after we broke up and that I could use it as leverage over her or something. Me. I think it's pretty cut and dry. Who bought the canvas and the paint? Who spent hours working on it? Me. Since I was the one who made it, I think that makes me rightfully the owner. Also, I kind of think the whole nude painting as leverage is kind of ridiculous. She seems to see this on the same level as me having nude pics of her on my phone or something. But I simply don't think a tastefully nude portrait is the same at all. It's just a weird thought I'd blackmail her, like, hey, if you don't do what I want, I'll show all your friends a portrait with one of your boobs out. I don't know, maybe I'm missing something, but I think it's weird. Thoughts?
This one's tougher.
That's a weird one, right?
Well, I just don't understand people that, like, get naked and, like, have a photo or a painting or whatever done before they're, like, for sure committed and solid with somebody.
Having someone paint a nude picture of me is probably on the bottom of list of things I would ever want to do.
Right.
Like, well, this isn't fucking Titanic. Is that the problem? That's Is this a Titanic?
Other question. Okay, so it's different. It's totally different than photographs. I agree.
Yes.
But I also, and they said tasteful. So if like, if it's just explicit, like legs splayed wide and like whatever.
Dildo from the auto shop. Yes. Shoved in her butt.
Yep. Then, but if it's like, I don't, if it's like a Titanic one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's just like on a fainting couch.
And, yeah. Those are different too.
Yeah.
Like those two.
I'm guessing it's not a salacious. Well, here's the thing. In the era of like internet porn and stuff, right? How salacious can a painting really be?
Also, I keep thinking like this person maybe paints like Picasso and no one would really know what it's supposed to be or that it was them or that it's like even accurate.
I wonder about that because like most paintings, you see the person's face and you're like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. Okay, here's what I think. I think he's totally within his rights to keep it.
I agree.
But I think he should just destroy it.
I agree.
Because it's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when your next girlfriend comes along?
I would be livid.
You're going to have a whole gallery? If I found
you, yeah.
If I painted a painting of an ex-girlfriend naked and kept it. But I was like, look at what a good painting it is.
Doesn't fucking matter at all.
What if my ex-girlfriend was really hideous?
Doesn't matter.
That wouldn't help?
Nope, nothing would help.
What if I was taking a painting class and we were just painting nude women? Like, the you know, the models come in?
I would be annoyed still. I wouldn't be as mad, but I would be irritated.
Well, and I'm like, this was not my idea. This is just painting class. That's what you do.
I'd still be annoyed.
What if the models were very unattractive?
Still annoyed.
I always think it's weird because, like, whenever you see that on TV or whatever, the models are, like, attractive. And I'm like, I think it'd be harder to paint someone who had, like, a real weird body.
Wait, like, you're pro weird body because yes. It shows more painting skills?
Yeah, that's the point, right?
Maybe they wouldn't give you a perfect body, though, because, like, if you're in painting one, it's like, well, you can draw, like, this one curve instead of, like, these 24,000 curves.
I mean, wouldn't it be much harder to paint someone who had a lot of cellulite or something?
Like, slobulous and globulous.
Yeah, like, wouldn't that be really hard?
Yeah.
I think so. I just think from a textural standpoint, that's much more challenging.
Textural.
Yeah.
Oh, yuck.
You're, like, cringing over here.
It's gross.
Or, like, if someone had, like, a weird growth or something. I think that'd be way more challenging.
I always wonder who goes out for those, like, we need models.
How much would they have to pay you to do that?
Okay, I wouldn't do it.
Hold on. They fly you. This is happening in Canada.
In Banff?
In Banff, Canada. So it's, like, not a place you're ever going to run into anybody. They have a thing there. So, like, any sort of photography is strictly forbidden.
Can I have a bag on my head?
No.
Mm-mm.
There's no amount of money?
No.
Hmm.
Mm-mm. What would you do it for? What would you do it for if it was in the town where we live?
Ooh, that would be tough.
You know a lot of
There's
people
like
here.
There's like a 50-50 chance that there would be someone I know from work or personal. Uh-huh. Like, there's pretty good odds.
Uh-huh.
It would have to be a lot to be here.
What if it was in rural Texas?
And they'll like pay for me to fly out mm-hmm. like every weekend or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like I leave work on Friday. They fly me out. I stay in a hotel Friday night. Do this Saturday morning. Come back here Saturday afternoon.
Sure.
$1,000.
All right.
So if I did that all year, take some time off, I'd have like $30,000. Technically, you could make about $50,000 doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would do that. So basically my current salary-ish would be well worth going to rural Texas where they have a painting class for some reason. Okay. So last week I met this really cool girl in a class I transferred into. We texted back and forth over the week, but since we were both busy, we didn't get a chance to go out. We sort of set up an informal plan to grab dinner after our last lab night, I suggested we go to Outback since I really enjoy it. It's somewhat affordable and it was a quick drive from the shuttle parking lot. She said she would rather eat glass than eat at Outback. I asked her where she wanted to go, and she suggested an overly expensive farm-to-table restaurant that was almost an hour away. It was already going on 8 p.m., and I was starving, but it also meant that I wouldn't be at home till at least 11 with all the driving, and I had an 8 a.m. class in the morning. I agreed to go, but it was clear that even me suggesting Outback had killed whatever spark had been there. We said our goodbyes, and she sent me a text while I was on my way home that said, "Thanks for a miserable time. Let's never speak again. K, thanks. Bye."
Whoa.
I was literally dumbfounded because the girl I was texting with last week didn't even seem to have such stupidity in her vocabulary. Am I the asshole here?
No, I don't think... I don't know. I don't think First Aid should be a big...
Super fancies?
No. I don't. But I'm pretty low key.
Yeah. If someone on a first date was like, "Let's go to Outback,"
I would suggest somewhere else because I also don't like Outback.
Of a similar...
But yeah.
Like a Red Lobster or something?
Can you say Red Lobster? Yes. But then I wouldn't be able to control my eating of Cheddar Bay biscuits, so I would have to suggest something else.
You get a text
else.
That's like, "Jeez, I saw you plowing through those Cheddar Bay biscuits. That was kind of embarrassing for me."
Yep. Yep.
If you could have done it without making all those noises.
Nom, nom, nom.
I was so good.
But no, I think, like, it seemed like they were wanting, like, a real casual thing.
Yeah.
Like, a casual, "Hey, like, let's just hang out, see how this goes.
Why don't we go to the nearest by restaurant?"
But an hour one way.
That's a pretty long drive.
That excuse about an 8 a.m. whatever and not getting home.
That was kind of bullshit.
Pretty lame.
So I was like, "Well, that's 9 hours away. Also, you're in college. Give me a break."
Yeah, agree.
But yeah, other than that.
Also, it seemed like she was totally scamming him for just a free dinner.
Kind of seemed like it. Although, I don't get this. This is something I don't understand. And maybe it's because I've never been like taken out in that way or had the chance to. But like, it wouldn't be worth it for me. I'm not going to hang out with someone I don't like for a free dinner. Like, regardless of the quality of that dinner, I'd rather just eat a Wendy's with someone by myself than go out to a dinner with someone I don't like.
I think I would just want to do it for a story.
Just to know?
No, I would just want to be like, "We'll never believe this date that I had."
Wait, are you the guy or the girl?
The girl. Isn't that what
being taken out to the dinner?
Yeah.
So you would go out to the farm to table just for the experience?
I
didn't
have like a bunch of like crazy weird dating stories, and I feel like I missed out on that part of life. But that didn't seem like a weird one. That just seemed like
they
were being rude.
You want someone to be like, "Hey, we're going to a Gwar concert."
Yes.
"Do you want to go on a date to a Gwar concert?"
Yes.
And you'd be like, "You know what? I have no interest in that. I'm not interested in you. Yeah, let's go."
Yeah.
All right. That makes a little more sense to me.
But no, I think that that's like scammy and rude.
My daughter is 17 months old. Being that she is a toddler, she would live in just her diaper if she could. When she's at home, we let her run free, and thus most of our pictures are of her in just her diaper. My mother posts a lot of my daughter's photos on Facebook, which I don't mind, but she's constantly editing little heart or smiley face stickers over my daughter's nipples. To me, this just seems really creepy and sexualizing, since my daughter's nipples are no different than my nephew's, whose uncensored photos are also all over my mother's Facebook. Something about it really rubs me the wrong way, but when I addressed it with my mother, she told me the pictures were inappropriate for her friends to see without the stickers covering her up. So I told her not to post any more pictures of my daughter. Am I the asshole?
No. There was something about this where, like, some lady yelled at a family member for sexualizing their kid for that, like, exact thing.
Putting the stickers over the nipples?
Something close enough.
It's pretty hilarious.
I mean, they're babies.
Yeah. This is, like, a weird old person thing.
Did you hear, who's the lead singer for Adam Levine? I guess he was shirtless for a bunch of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were mad because Janet Jackson's like nip slip thing was they got fined super heavily, the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
They fined the network for that. And then everybody was like, that's a double standard because Adam Levine was shirtless and we saw his nipples the whole time. So why aren't they fining?
But isn't that the double standard that's like throughout the entire world. United States?
Yes.
Because like, yeah, go to the pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I know there are some places, I think New York is one, where women can be topless in public.
Mm.
Here's the problem I have with this whole, like, it's not fair to be topless or not topless. All right. I think it should just not be legal for anyone to be topless. Let's just all not be topless.
Yeah.
It's so unnecessary. 99% of the time, there's no reason to be topless. Like, you'll see a guy out running. This is something I do all the time. And it'll be like 75.
Clarify this. You said this is something you do all the time after.
The running part.
Yes, running, not the topless. While running, yes.
And like, because you don't need to pop your shirt off when it's 75 degrees.
And stick it in the side of your shorts.
You don't need to do that. Just tough it out. Be a fucking man. Whoa. How about that?
Whoa.
Well, I can say that because ladies don't do that. They're not popping the top off. Although I would also argue, like, you don't need to go running in just a sports bra.
Yeah, I agree.
It's kind of equivalent.
Tank tops exist.
Tank tops are fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's barely any fabric.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to weigh you down. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's hypocritical because I'm like, well, that's just them going by the same rules everyone else is going. The rules might be dumb. But they're just abiding by the same rules that happen everywhere else. Also, it's football. So let's be serious about this. Is this like the sport that's enjoyed by the intellectual elite? Probably not. I'm going to say probably not.
Burn.
Is this the folks who are like, women's rights are at question here because Adam Levine didn't have his shirt on? Or were they probably like, the halftime, this is the thing that I think is so stupid about the fucking Super Bowl, too. The big story is always about, like, the halftime show. And it's like, yeah, you know why that is? Because this is the one football game of the year that people who don't give a fuck about football end up watching.
Pretend, yeah.
And so that's something they know about. They know about things like that, but they don't know shit about football.
No.
So then they can't actually say anything about football. So I'm like, hey, assholes, maybe you just shouldn't be treading in a thing where you don't belong. Like, if you don't care about football, just don't care about football.
You rant so hard about sports.
I hate it. I'm just like, if you don't like football, then don't watch football. If you don't like the conservative values of football 24/7, 365, then yeah, you're probably not going to like it during the halftime show either.
Yeah, but that was a thing. That's like kind of the same. But it now is. They're children.
Well, I think it's like a weird old person thing because it's like, I'm going to post these pictures on the internet, but I don't want my 17-year-old granddaughter's jugs out on the internet, I guess.
I think that's what's really weird about it is like your kids don't have a say about what's been posted about them on social media.
Can I just say this? Yeah. Like when people have babies and stuff, I'm like, well, I don't need to see pictures of your kids with no clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's offensive or anything, but I'm like, my mom has pictures of me and my brother like that. Would I be real thrilled if she like uploaded them to the internet? Because I'd be like, why would you do that? Like, what's the purpose of that?
Yeah.
So people can see my like tiny little kid wiener. Why? Why would you do that?
Mm.
But it's funny to think of this grandma taking the time to make the little emoji stickers.
And put them over a tiny little baby nipple.
Just fucking put a shirt on her before you take a picture and put it on the internet. If you feel that way about it.
Yeah.
Or just like take those pictures are for you.
Right. The world doesn't need to see.
I don't care.
No.
I don't need to see your naked little kids.
Yeah.
I kind of feel this way, too, about, like, if people take pictures, like, you know, people take, like, a nude picture when they're pregnant or something, and it's, like, an artsy thing, but I'm sort of like, nah, I don't need that. I don't need it. Okay, anything you and only you write or edit on Wikipedia becomes true immediately. You can change history or the present. What do you do?
Taylor Swift and her best friend Cassie Sherholt opened a kitten farm where you could just get into a kitten cuddle puddle.
So it's your eyes are glassing over with
tears. I just imagine us having our 30th birthday together as like a dual birthday party, and it sounds really fun.
Oh my God.
That's
you're going to start crying.
I am.
What's the name of the business? Like the Wikipedia page is like Cuddle Puddle Inc. or something.
Yeah. Cuddle Puddle Kitten Co.
There you go. So that's what you would do?
Yes.
With your power?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I like it.
That's purely selfish.
That's fine. I think that's a more... If you had gone this way, I would have thrown out anything like world peace or like stop World War II or something, because I'm like, that's too obvious. Like, it's not interesting.
I think the thing along those lines that I would do is I would make Robert Mueller's investigation find Trump guilty of a billion things so that he could get, not like Trump was never elected, but like he's punished.
You don't want to go back and do that.
I want him to be punished
into the punishing future.
Yes, I do, because I'm vindictive. What would you do?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I don't want to do something, you know, I mean, obviously, like, Peter Dirk, he's really rich and no one knows why. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So, of course, I would do something like that, but that's not really that interesting to talk about, right?
What's like your Taylor Swift opens a kitten playhouse with you version?
Well, I'm not really interested in a kitten playhouse because I would die.
You would. Oh, we can have a hypoallergenic section for
God.
With those hairless cats.
I don't like them.
There's some hyper...
They're creeps.
Hypoallergenic, like floofy ones.
If I was covered in like kittens,
then
they would just get off of me
and
I would just be like hives and I would die.
I just really want this to happen.
I'm trying to think of some of my eccentric millionaire ideas.
Vomitron.
Vomitron would be good. That would exist.
Pete's Hole Enterprises. That's how you become rich and famous.
Pete's Gas Hole. That could exist. Okay. I would put it in Wikipedia so it was true. The company that basically builds big buildings that are apartment buildings, and then the apartments are like shipping containers.
Oh, yeah.
And so they can just be taken out of the building and moved to another building.
Like Jenga.
Yeah. And then all the hookups and stuff line up and everything, and it's perfect.
That is so smart.
Wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm. We've talked about
that. Be the easiest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Silicon Valley should do this, because then they always open up in, like, you know, Boise or whatever. So then it's like, oh, you can just move your fuckers out there and they don't even have to do anything. They could just be sitting in their apartment for like 20
and it
hours.
Shifts them.
Yeah.
Like a pod.
Basically, I go to bed tonight, I wake up, and go to my new job in Boise. Yeah, I don't have to do anything.
Boise's pretty.
Boise's nice. Boise in the hood. You're immortal with powerful magic. How do you quickly get enough money to retire without bringing attention to yourself?
We talked about this, and I don't remember what my answer was.
We did, and you had a good answer in the end.
Shoot.
I had a good one, too, after a while.
Do you remember mine?
No.
I don't either.
I don't remember mine. How am I going to remember yours?
I don't know.
The trick is not bringing attention to yourself. Because the obvious answers we went through first were like winning the lottery. But that brings attention to yourself, right?
Yeah.
I think I said something at first like, okay, I would make it so I magically had like some relative who just gave me a bunch of money. Because then everyone would just be like, eh. That's weird. And then I'm just kind of gone.
Could I sell cross-stitch things on Etsy and have like an empire?
And it would just magically happen that people paid a lot for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could work.
Because they were so exact and pretty.
I could take all the comic books I've recently purchased.
Which is how many, Peter?
Couple hundred. Couple few hundred.
Couple few hundred.
Several hundred. It's a big blue IKEA bag full.
Mm-hmm. Very.
And magically change it so the price of all them on eBay skyrocketed. So then like each one is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then I could sell them all.
Do you think you would though?
Yes.
Really?
Of course I would.
You wouldn't make your like series run of
It would them. Be hard to get rid of those Justice Leagues.
Yeah.
But I could sell all the rest besides that.
And not the metallic cover ones.
Nah, not the cool ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I could sell as a commodity that I have.
I don't have anything.
You have nothing. Your life is empty.
Not empty. It just doesn't have a lot of surplus.
Because I don't think you'd get famous for selling, for having comics that are of high value, right?
No, because they're collectors who like have cars and whatever. And
I remember what my answer was.
What was it?
I would magically make pay to park parking lots appear in a bunch of cities.
Yes.
And then people would just have to pay to park there. And that's how I would make money.
This reminds me of the episode of The Office where that guy wants to make like 0.2 cents off of every whatever.
No, I don't know.
There's a small business episode where Andy's trying to get people and he's like, what's your business idea? And this guy's like, I don't know. Someone like makes a phone call and I get 0.2 cents. Or they like buy something offline and I get 0.2 cents. Whatever. I get 0.2 cents. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Just create something so that every phone call made on an iPhone, you get 0.2 cents somehow.
Every Google search, I get one millionth of a penny.
There you go. And then you'd be good forever.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the parking lot thing, this came from, I had like a fantasy when I was a young man. Because, you know, I paid to park somewhere and was just like, man, why is my family all losers and no one like owned a parking lot? Because I was like,
my family's a bunch of losers who don't own a parking lot. How did they get such a crappy draw?
Well, because all you need is like a square, you know, quarter of a block and some tar. And some paint. And someone who's willing to tow. Yeah, maybe. You don't even need that anymore. You just need that thing with the slots and the little metal key that you shove the bills in with. Or the credit card thing now. It's the future. Like, I'd have to have made one upgrade in the last 25 years.
That's a pretty good investment. It's pretty low maintenance.
It's so easy. And, like, you could have them in several major cities. No one ever investigates those, do they? Like, no one's like, who's the parking lot king of northern Colorado? Like, no one gives a shit. Yeah. Have you ever looked up who owns a parking lot?
No.
Or even thought to?
No.
It's probably a wizard.
Suspicious.
Whenever you fall asleep, a little hatch opens in your wall and a little frog jumps out and lands next to your head. Since you were born, it has been that frog's job to whisper dreams into your ear. Sometimes the frog gets sick,
does
so he has a
tongue come out and touch your ear when it's whispering?
Sometimes the frog gets sick, so he has a toad friend who fills in, but the toad isn't good at coming up with dreams, so he accidentally makes nightmares. Other times, neither the frog nor the toad can come in, so you don't have any dreams.
What the hell is this?
One day, you wake up before the frog leaves, and you see him, and he explains who he is. What do you do?
Wait, I don't know the frog
this
exists.
This has been happening your whole life.
And I just found out.
And you just found out.
I would ask him what his name is. And how he learned English. That was my first two questions.
All right. Do you want a third question?
Where does the little door in the wall go?
That's a good question. Where do you go in there?
Does everyone have a frog dream
friend?
How
did you not notice this door before? You're looking at me like,
I have so many questions now. Are you in the toad friends? Why is the toad so bad at this? What kind of training did you get that the toad man didn't get? Do you have a family? How do you eat?
The toad's kind of a diversity hire.
That's okay. Can I pick a squirrel friend? Are they all frogs?
I don't think you get to pick.
No, I'm asking these questions of the frog.
Okay.
I have so many questions. Who came up with this? Were they like tripping or?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It's a great question.
It's a great question. It sent you spiraling.
Don't you have questions? What would you ask? You ask your first three questions. Go.
Is this how dreams and nightmares work for everyone or just me? Can you get rid of the toad?
Yeah.
Also,
can we just like, if you're sick, no toad. Just, I don't have dreams that night.
Yeah, just nothing. Mm-hmm. I'll just take nothing.
Yeah.
Third would be like, can you like watch some movies and read some books or something? Because my dreams are very boring.
Your dreams are very boring.
They're like, I'm at real work life. And stuff like that.
Mine are great.
Yeah. Or like one, what was the one I told you about?
You peed your pants.
That's right. I peed my pants. And then for some reason, you were real excited to get it on with me. And I was trying to like excuse myself
despite
from the situation.
Pee pants?
You like, didn't know.
Okay. Thank you.
So I was trying to excuse myself from the situation so that you wouldn't find out I had peed my pants. And you were very insistent.
I think that you have a toad instead of a frog.
He's like a stoner.
Your frog is like always sick. Yeah. Your frog is like lupus or something.
My toad is like, so you peed your pants? And then what if your girlfriend wanted to sex with you? In your pee pants. I think, too, in the dream, I told you I had peed my pants a little. And you were like, that's not a big deal. And I was like, eh. I peed my pants a lot.
Yeah. Like, when I say fully, a little, I mean like...
full bladder all in the pants. And it just happened. It was so weird when I did it in the dream, too. It was a weird sensation. Because I was like... it was almost like if you've ever had a situation... where you decided to fart and you're like, it's not going to be a big deal. And then it is a big deal. And you're like, oh God, that was a lot of fart. And it just kind of
like
rushed
someone
out.
Someone we know who thought it was a fart and it was
more
than a fart. A lot.
You're in bed with a shit log.
And a lady.
Yeah. So something like that happens, right? This was kind of like that, where I think I was like, for some reason in dream world, I was like, well, I can pee a little bit and that'll be fine.
No.
And it didn't work out that way. So two twins are walking on the street, conjoined at the arm, and they haven't drank their milk today, so their bones are very brittle. A person comes by without warning and judo kicks the shared arm so hard it breaks apart. They're then fully separated, bleeding out, onlookers looking on in fear. Onlookers looking on as they do. They go to the hospital. The bleeding is stopped. They're fine. They get some milk to drink. First, is the judo kicker charged with one count of assault or two, since he assaulted two people in one motion? Second, do the doctors stitch them back together, since that's how they were before the attack, or do they leave them separate?
I think the doctors probably leave them separate unless there's like a medical reason that they should be conjoined.
Do you think you could ethically, as a doctor, like what if the twins wanted to be conjoined?
Because
they were like conjoined before.
I get it, but you have to look at like quality and ease of life. And I think that life is easier if you're separate from other beings.
Maybe that's just your
my ableist perspective.
Like, do you think we could find a doctor to conjoin us?
I don't want to be conjoined to you.
I love
you.
What the hell?
I think you get charged with two counts of assault, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're two people.
I agree. I think it's like, okay, if there were just two guys standing next to each other and you hit them both, right?
Uh-huh.
Or you shot through one guy and the bullet went into a second guy. That's two.
I like how this post talks about their brittle bones and how they got some milk and they're better.
It felt like it needed to explain how you could judo kick two people apart, I guess.
And they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be... I don't think the doctor would put them back together.
No.
I think some doctor somewhere would, but...
Yes.
I mean, there's doctors somewhere who are like, I'm going to make this Octomom look like Angelina Jolie, sort of.
Yeah.
Ran a 100-yard dash in a 50-yard gym. Angelina Jolie. What would happen if a restaurant was based around and served lab-grown human meat? Meat grown in a petri dish that wasn't ever part of a human, but identical to theoretical human meat in composition. Let's assume it's on the Las Vegas Strip and it's called Cannibal's Delight. Number one, would it be legal?
I was about to say, has the FDA approved this? Because I don't think that they would.
Let's assume they have.
I think some weirdos would go.
Number two, how much controversy would there be?
A billion.
Number three, what would their most popular menu item be?
Ears.
Ears?
I don't know.
It's like all cartilage. I don't know. Fried ears.
Yeah.
Like elephant ears, but they're people.
Elephant ears aren't real. Isn't that pastry?
Yeah.
With cinnamon?
They're fried. Yeah. With cinnamon.
And it's like puff pastry, like it's all flaky.
Yeah.
Those are good.
I feel like this resulted in, I want an elephant ear.
And some candy, actually.
Would any religions forbid eating there?
Oh, yes. Are you kidding?
Why?
Well, I feel like if people think that cows are sacred or like pigs and goats are like unclean, that people are for sure.
Let me ask this question in a different, more interesting way.
What do you think is the most popular menu item?
I think some kind of like human nuggets or something.
Like balls? Because that's what I think of.
I just meant more like fried chunks of human meat.
Oh, that's... Why'd like you a nugget? Have to say chunks?
Chunklets?
Okay, if you had said chunklets, I wouldn't have thought balls. So I think they should call them
chunklets. Well, here's why I thought that, though, because like Rocky Mountain oysters, right?
Uh-huh.
That's balls, and they're like, but they're like deep fried pieces of balls. So
it's not a whole ball?
I don't think so.
We need to go to
I don't really know how they work. But my point is like, I think, or like we had alligator bites. Mm-hmm. Those were like deep fried little chunklets.
They're calling them chunklets.
They're chunktastic.
I feel like I'm going to be sick.
I think chunklets is what's in like dog food.
Can you stop saying that word, please? Because I really will throw up on your microphone.
Could I use that word if we had a little kid and they were fat?
Oh, yeah.
Call them a
Don't little... stop it. Stop okay. it.
So I think some kind of version of that.
Okay.
Some kind of like a deep fried piece of basically a nugget, because then it tastes sort of like anything else.
Stop it.
Would you eat there if given the opportunity?
No. I know you would.
I would.
No.
Let me ask this question in a different way. What if they found a way to recreate like chicken proteins so you could eat a chicken breast, but it was never part of an actual chicken that was alive?
You know I would feel saying? Better about that.
So you would feel better about eating that than
would
eating
that
regular chicken?
Would that be considered
chicken?
Vegan?
I don't know, because it was never alive.
But eggs aren't alive.
I mean, tissue
and milk
is alive.
Isn't alive.
Well, it's a product of animal.
Like you derive it from like chicken DNA, but it was never a real living chicken.
So I guess there would have at some point have to have been a sort of Eve of chickens who was then turned into all
a
these
chicken
other...
or the egg, you might say.
Yeah. So I guess there's a vegan argument for like, well, one, there is one originator chicken that then this tissue came from. But on the other hand,
that original chicken died, but not any future chickens.
Maybe it didn't even die.
Oh.
Maybe it just had some
like Dolly,
stuff extracted.
The sheep.
Yeah. Yeah, like Dolly didn't die, right?
Dolly
was cloned.
Okay.
But like, yeah, so I mean, the original was fine.
Hmm.
They could extract the DNA and stuff, I think, without killing the chicken, right?
That would make me feel a lot better about eating meat.
So it still would be against some people, I think, because it's like animals are not here for our consumption or entertainment and so on.
Vegetarians maybe would be okay.
Yeah. Well, it would solve a lot of factory farming and stuff, right? Because it's like, well, I don't really have a problem with a non-sentient chicken breast being raised in a small enclosure. I put it in my refrigerator and I'm not like, this chicken breast should have room to play.
And light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like stimulus. Okay. Should I ask you like one more question?
Yeah.
Oh, we have two questions.
Oh, no.
One day you wake up and you're 8 years old. Again. What can you say or do to prove that you're from the future?
Well, I could talk about 9/11 because that was...
Why do you always go right to 9/11?
I don't always go right to 9/11. What happened when I was 8? I could tell them who my next year's teacher would be.
Do you think that would convince your parents?
Tell my parents you'll get divorced in 2 years.
Oh my God. But then what if they just thought kids say the darndest things and sometimes they turn out to be true?
Well, there's this one memory that I have that was like pre-divorce, and it would like, it was a very distinct memory that I could tell them what happened and they'd be like, that's not just a kid saying a random thing. Like, it's too detailed.
Do you know something about your parents that you didn't know at the time from your childhood, but now you know?
Yes. They were supposed to go honeymoon in Yellowstone, and then they got trapped in Rawlins, Wyoming, and had to stay at the last available hotel room. And then another couple came in behind them and had to stay in the jail. And they were also on their honeymoon. And I didn't learn about this until I was like 23.
Really?
Yeah.
They never told you this?
No, they never told me that. Why? They didn't really have their honeymoon, that they got stranded. And we had been to Wyoming. We'd been to Yellowstone like 3 or 4 times before I found out.
Why didn't they tell you this?
I don't know.
Just didn't occur to them?
No, and I knew that they had gone to Yellowstone for their honeymoon, but they never told me we were supposed to, but we didn't actually.
How many people would I tell if that happened to us?
Everybody.
Everybody. Everyone would.
Because it's a nightmare.
People who didn't know that would know that.
Yeah. We got trapped in teeny, tiny, like, unpopulated Rawlins. Wyoming town. Yeah.
Rawlins is the town I have on my weather app, besides where I live.
Rawlins, one of my friends was born in Wyoming, and I told her, and she's like, that really sucked. And I was like, yeah, sounds like it would have.
That's where I decided when I leave my job, I'm going to just go be the sheriff.
Be a Walt Longmire.
Yeah. I hear there's lots of meth up there.
Oh, I don't. In Rawlins or in Wyoming?
In Rawlins.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What would you say to prove you're from the future?
How old am I, 10?
Wait, you're 8. That's second grade.
I would tell them about... What year did Jurassic Park come out? 1993? I would tell everyone in detail about the upcoming film Jurassic Park.
Would they think that you had just read the Michael...
No, because it's different.
Oh.
And I would tell them how it's different.
Oh.
And tell them its place in cinematic history. And everything about
it. Would you sing the theme song for
this? Tun, 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 tun. You can't ever wait for that part.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, I would tell them about that in great detail.
And sing the song.
And like write it all down. And so then it would come out and everyone would be like, what the fuck? And I'd be like, there's a Sega Genesis game.
I was going to say, you should talk about games and game systems.
Newman's going to be in it. He's going to find some eggs and then get stuff on his
face.
Yeah. And then he falls down a mud. And then apparently he dies because he got stuff in his face and he couldn't get it off.
There's the shaving cream. Like,
yeah,
canister.
The eggs. Which that never really comes back in, does it?
Uh-uh.
I always thought that was like how they set up for the sequel or something. Because it's like, well, they've got all these embryos and then it's buried in the mud.
Uh-huh.
So they could be like, oh, it was kept cool in the mud, so they survived.
I want to watch Jurassic Park now.
Be like, there's a guy named Muldoon. He's like Crocodile Dundee, but he's bald. And he hunts and he goes, clever girl. And like all these things. And they'd be like, holy fuck. Fuck.
The raptors jump on top of the kitchen
Yeah.
prep area.
Click their toenails.
Mm-hmm. the banner
fight
falls.
A T-Rex and there's a big banner. Yeah.
That's my T-Rex noise.
That sounded like your train noise. Pretty close. Yeah. The only downside of this is I would then have to wait 2 years before anyone believed me.
I mean, most of my things would have to wait 2 years.
Biggest movies, 1991. Oh, Terminator 2 Judgment Day came out that year.
Oh,
so that I could tell them all about that.
You tell them how he's a good guy.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, Home Alone came out that year?
What came out in 98?
You were so young. So
oh,
that's, this is
hush.
Armageddon, Saving Private Ryan. You could tell them Shakespeare in Love was going to win the Oscar and no one would believe you.
I've never seen that film.
A Bug's Life, The Truman Show, The Big Lebowski.
I haven't seen most of these.
You've seen Armageddon, right?
Yeah, Mulan. I hate that movie. Oh, I love Mulan.
Blade.
Mm-mm.
Wedding Singer. There's Something About Mary. Mask of Zorro. Rushmore. You could talk about how there's two asteroid movies this year.
Deep Impact.
Yeah, Deep Impact and Armageddon. Same year. Lost in Space, the movie.
Practical Magic,
The Faculty.
So good.
Lethal Weapon 4. American History X. U.S. Marshal. This was a pretty big movie year.
I was about to say, who had better movies come out when they were eight, you or me? I have a
Let's
pretty
go
solid
back.
List.
I didn't really look very far into mine. I mean, I had Terminator
Silence
2.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. Home Alone. City Slickers, Point Break, JFK, Beauty and the Beast,
Hook.
Hot Shots is like the fifth one, Boys in the Hood, Terminator 2, Backdraft, Robin Hood, My Girl.
My mom loves Backdraft.
Don't Tell Mom the Day Babysitter's Dead. Hudson Hawk. Drop Dead Fred.
I think I had better movies.
The Rocketeer. The Last Boy Scout?
Still think I had better
Necessary
movies.
Roughness? Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey? Oscar starring Sylvester Stallone? Barton Fink? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze? I could be like, I could tell you what the Secret of the Ooze is.
So you tell people about Jurassic Park.
I think telling people about the blockbuster movies that are imminently about to come out. And they could ask me about, you know, just about anything. Like, they could be like, I could be like, all right, here's what's going to happen in Freddy's Dead. Here's what's going to happen in King Ralph. Here's what's going to happen in Problem Child 2. And then, like, go ahead to the next year and be like, Wayne's World, Unforgiven, Aladdin, Reservoir Dogs, Home Alone 2, Batman Returns, Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I could tell you all about it. I think that's the way to go. I feel like that's the quickest route as a child to convince someone and be like, Mom, I know this is crazy, but I've time traveled back into my body. Are you done?
Uh-huh.
You look done. You're like so far away. I don't even know if that picked
up. We
were
just like spiraling
down. I was
down
so excited because I was like, look how many good movies came out
uh-huh.
in a year. And then let's do big movies 2017.
Why 2017?
I don't know.
That's like 2 years ago.
They're like all superhero movies.
Oh, and The Mummy.
That's like all anyone gives a shit about.
Yeah, movies aren't as good now.
No, there's like nothing good that came out. I mean, those are fun, but like, come on. I liked Wind River.
Oh, I made you watch that.
Yeah, it was good.
So good.
Anyway, so there you go. That's what I would do. All right, well, that's it. That's all we have for today.
Cool.
Are you happy?
Sure.
Well, thanks for being on the show.
Uh-huh.
Good job.
Uh-huh.
I'll let you know what everyone says about your performance.
Oscar worthy.
Let's talk about bum one, yeah.
Let's talk about T-Swift, yeah. She's a theme in my life.
No kidding.
Did you know?
She was the one thing you would change about the present or history.
I want this person to record our version. But I want him to get a lady to sing the poony parts.
Ew, gross.
Shut up.